This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. Yes, it is that time of the week again. This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. My name's Russ Masterton. I'm the travel agent. My food junkie critic and extraordinaire and bar hopper is Fiona Brooke. How are you, Fiona?
I'm super. Now, Russ.
Guess what?
We have a guest.
Who is it, Fiona?
Our guest is Marnie Warich. Marnie is has been in Melbourne now for 12 years on Valentine's Day. So we're sort of celebrating with Marnie today. Welcome, Marnie.
Lovely to be here.
So Marnie owns the Bubba G, fabulous Bubba G restaurant in St Kilda, and Picanzi, which is in Hawthorne.
Wow.
Which is also delicious. And, of course, the Bubba G food truck, which is you can see around town at all the best music festivals. Now, you know that sometimes when you think about Indian food, your friends might not always feel that enthusiastic because there's, you know, a lot around, but what you will find when you're at Bubba G and Picanzi is a total surprise.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely.
So Marnie loves his Indian food and has brought it to Australia to taste bud our senses
as we were just talking before, I think that there's a lot about Indian food which is missed, and I think that what Marnie does is really brings that to the fore with the venues. Maybe it's got to do with your village upbringing, Marnie.
Yes, I come from a small village to one of the biggest city in the world, and that was a big change, and I wanted to implement that change in a food too. Like when people 10, 15 years ago, people just used to think Indian food is just takeaway food, but now the purpose for our place was just not to serve the food, but to change the thinking about the Indian food, like what people think about Indian food. Indian food can be delicious, can be very presentable, doesn't have to be just takeaway. So that was our purpose when we opened the Bubba G and then the food truck and then the Picanzi. So that's what we're trying to do to change the thinking
perception.
Yeah.
What part of India are you from, Marnie?
I'm from Punjab, small village.
Okay.
Like it's literally north. I would say really bottom of the Himalayas.
Right.
Like in Punjab, we're in north of Punjab. Climate is also quite different here too. Like it's not as hot, but mind you, like in Punjab, it gets really cold in winter.
Imagine.
Yeah, it's very cold. It's like Canberra, I would say. If I hadn't moved to Canberra, I would be like
home.
Yeah, in the summer it's like goes to 42, in winter it goes to -2. So, because it's inland.
Fantastic. And, of course, what we were talking about before is that the famous butter chicken is actually from the Punjab.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think when everybody knows about India. When you ask people, what place you know about in India? So, like I was saying to you guys earlier, depending on your age, if you're young, you say, Goa. If you're a little bit older, you say, if you're a little bit older, then you say, Agra, Varanasi, all those places, spiritual places. But not many people will pick Punjab as a place to go to. Yeah. But I have to say the food and the hospitality of the Punjabi people is just extraordinary. Mm. Like the only thing people know about Punjab is like, I had a taxi driver from Punjab.
But there's more to the Punjab than a taxi driver.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful part of your country. It really is.
And Ross, you've been there.
I have. We just decided to draw a few things out of a few destinations in India out of the hat on our last trip, and Amrista came out of the hat, and we thought, right, we're going there. So
that's Amrista, and that's the capital
of Punjab. And I tell you what, fell in love with it. It's funny, and it's all a very individual thing. We got to go there. I got to go to the Golden Temple. We went on a tour of the temple, and then the huge kitchen that they have there. And
they serve free meals, and I believe that they serve up to 50,000 meals a day.
They do.
From the kitchen it's called the Golden Temple?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. And Manny, you can tell the listeners more about what they do at the Golden Temple.
The Golden Temple is a Sikh temple. Like, it's my religion too. I belong to a Sikh religion. Not that I practice extremely, but I do. Being slightly casual, I think that's the Melbourne part coming out of me since I moved here. But it's a beautiful place. It's when you go there, it's just like something you've never seen. It, like, you know, and the whole building is covered with the gold. It's just so extraordinary. Like, in the morning when the sunrise hits, the sunrise hits on a gold, it just comes to that really beautiful pinkish golden color. And then the food you were talking about, it's part of the religion. Like, they serve anybody can come and have the meal, like, after they've been to the temple, saying and done the prayer. So, yes, it's a free meal every day. I'd say more than 50,000, like, so many people, depending on the day. Like, especially, I happened to go there 4 weeks ago for 2 weeks, and I was there on New Year's Eve. It was the busiest night. Like, you know, everybody wanted to, in India, religious people, they want to thank you to the God for the previous year and pray for the next year. And that was the busiest night. I reckon it would have been easily more than 100,000 people there. So everybody, it's part of the whole visit. Like, you go there, pray, and eat too. That's complete.
What sort of food do they serve?
Vegetarian. Anything. So I have to be vegetarian. That's part of the religion, because you're supposed to eat vegetarian. You don't need to kill anyone to feed yourself.
Yes.
So that's the philosophy behind it. So they cook vegetarian. Mainly, they tend to, most of the time, it's like a lentil curry. I'd say 5 out of 10 times.
But it is just like this amazing production line. You basically go into these halls with these rows of people all sitting on the floor, and then they come down and they feed everybody. And then afterwards, if you want to, you can go into the kitchens and help them cook, or you can go into the washing areas and help them wash the plates and everything like that. And it's kind of like an amazing type of service that you can do to, you know, whether you're part of that religion or not, you can get this sense of spirituality, and you can then afterwards you can go and participate in what everyone's doing there. So it's really amazing.
That
really
sounds beautiful.
I loved it. It's more volunteers than the people who get paid to do that job. The reason it started is, like, the people who can't afford to have a food. But they still need to have a food. So that was like, we have to have a place where somebody who doesn't have the money or can't afford it for any reason, they're homeless, they can just come here, at least they can have the food. And the last thing they want to do, like, we want to do people to sleep without having anything in the tummy.
And the Sikh religion's the one where the men wear these beautiful, colourful turbans. What's the significance in the different coloured turbans? Is there anything for me, I was just amazed at how beautiful all of these men looked. You know, they had different coloured turbans on, and they were all, you know, with these great big bushy moustaches, and I thought, this is really cool. I loved it.
Well, it's nothing to do with the religion when it comes to the colour. Yes, turban is part of the religion. It's just like a symbol. Like, when somebody's wearing turban, that means they belong to Sikh religion. But the colours, I think they're just being fashionable. And knowing India for its colours, so that's sort of not a surprise, I guess. So,
and the ladies, I've never seen so many colours.
Bright colours,
It's just amazing, Fiona. You would love it. You go there, it's a furore of spectacular colour. And then in the background is this huge white building, and right in the middle is the Golden Temple. It's, if you're not moved by it, I'll eat my grits.
And then you've got lots of other colour and spectacle in the border area, where you've got the Indian guards and the Pakistani guards parading in front of each other, which I believe is quite a spectacle as well.
Yeah, have you done that many? It's so much fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it, it's like India Pakistan rivalry, but they show through that parade in the evening, so or in the morning when they raise the flag or put the flag down. So that's also something, you know, people enjoy. I reckon it's a really different experience to see.
We were laughing at that because the Indian music was getting louder and louder, and the Pakistani music was getting louder and louder, and it was almost like being at some weird nightclub. You know, all you could hear is this doof, 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 and you could see the guards marching up and down, and it was very interesting. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, Manny's from a little village, and I think that we're going to talk a little bit more about the food and the village, because you were there recently, Manny, is that correct? And you took your girlfriend?
Yes, and she never been to India, and she absolutely loved it, and actually Mo loved it, and any other place. Like, you've been to so many other places, but I think that's exactly the same thing, because she's never seen small village like me. I never seen big city, coming from small village to the big city. It was a big change, and that's why maybe I fell in love with Melbourne, since let alone I came on Valentine's Day. So it's very humble experience, you know. I think when people go to different countries, they tend to go where people tell them to go. I think it's sometimes good to just go random places, you know, staying in a small village, you know. People will they welcome you more than 5-star or 7-star hotel, I think. Sometimes you feel like it.
So what else did you do with your girlfriend when you were there? What did you show her?
Oh, especially the village. She took so many photos. Every person who was walking, she was like, oh, can I take a photo? so random, like you mentioned, you know, big hippie beard and big turbans. And she was quite fascinated and happy with how people just so loose and not so stressed.
It's a different lifestyle, isn't it?
Very cruisy.
It really is, yep.
Everybody was just like, no one in a rush to be anywhere. Like here, one thing I really miss is like everybody rushing, like coming to the studio. I was stressing, like, oh, am I going to be there in time? Yeah. You know, that, like, there, it's no problem, especially in a village.
And do you catch the train around India at all, Manny? Because I know I've done train travel in India and love it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, there's obviously lots of different classes on the trains, and air conditioned and non air conditioned, but to travel with the locals is just amazing. I've been in a carriage with a family of 8 people and slept with them and sat with them and read books with them and all of that stuff overnight, and I love train travel in India.
Yeah, surely you can make some friends in the train. I'd say very easy. More than like, you know, we make friends here in the pub, but in India you make friends
on
the train.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where I come from, it's not much of a train network. It's more like you're on your own vehicle. That's the best way to do, or buses.
Yes.
So your village is 2.5 hours from Amritsar?
Yes.
Okay.
Depending on, it's a lot more traffic now, and so, you know, when I was there, it was 2.5 hours. Now it's probably 3.5 hours, depending on more cars, more traffic jams.
And is that where you learned to cook?
Yes. I always had a thing for cooking. Cooking always made me happy and self-entertained. I'm the only child. I haven't got any siblings, but I'm very close to my cousins, you know, or they're all like my brother and sisters. And that's, I think, especially because of growing in a small village. But the cooking, I grew up with my grandma, very close to grandma. My mum and dad worked in a public sector, so I always, from after school, I always hang out with my grandma, granddad. And the grandma, she would entertain me with the cooking. She didn't have an iPad to give me to watch something. So she would make me something, and I would learn like what she's doing, and that's how it became my hobby.
So tandoor is a specialty of the Punjab region, is that correct? Is it a unique kind of tandoor?
Not so much of the Punjab. It's more of a northern India. So in north, like, depend. In India, every single part has a different language and a different food and different spices and different flavors. So north of India is more like a dairy and meat based food.
Mm.
So especially Punjab is famous for its dairy. That's why everybody knows butter chicken, but nobody knows butter chicken, where the butter chicken come from. Mm. So the butter, it's like the it's a dairy. Punjab is famous for dairy, and they love their meat, chicken. So they originated this dish. So,
And I believe that basmati rice is the indigenous rice of the area.
Yes, so there is like any other rice. So many different rices they grow, but basmati rice it's a speeder rice, and it tastes nice, smell nice. Like in a field when the rice is growing, you can walk past and smell and tell this is basmati rice is growing in this field.
That's I always get so confused with rice. I wish I knew more about rice. There's sushi rice, basmati rice, long grain rice, short grain rice,
brown rice,
jasmine rice.
Yeah. You're a rice queen.
What I was going to say then, Fiona, is you would love Indian food because of its vegetarian
I love Indian
scene.
Food.
Do you cook a lot of vegetarian dishes as well, Manny?
I do. Like, my whole family is vegetarian. So my mum's side, they eat meat. My dad's side, they're completely vegetarian. So that's why I get to taste both. But I personally like vegetarian. I often say to people, like, if you really want to know if any place is doing a good food, go and taste their vegetarian menu, not the non-vegetarian, because I believe the vegetables, you need to do a lot more effort than the meat dishes to make it more delicious. Mm. Yes. So if you really want to, I'm not giving any tips to food critics, but but I'm just saying, you know, the vegetarian meals are where the chefs need to lift their game.
Yeah.
So I'm from my heart, I'm a vegetarian, but by profession, I eat both.
I understand.
So what of the dishes perhaps from your village or that you grew up with have you incorporated into the menu at Babaji and Pekansi?
Oh, we tried to, like, in both our restaurants, like I said, the purpose for the restaurant was to change. Like, I wanted to do the dishes, what we do in India, but in a slightly different way. And especially for the people in Melbourne for their taste buds. Mm. You know, you can't go really hardcore on the spices as we do in India, because people may think it's too sensitive, because people will be too sensitive. Mm. So you have to tweak things and without compromising in the flavor, just sort of give it to the taste so that people can like it. That's why our butter chicken, it's slightly different to the butter chicken you taste in India. Mm. And that's, I believe, also, we try to change, but also because the ingredients are different here than ingredients are different in India. For example, the milk, the one thing my girlfriend said to me, the milk tasted funny here. She didn't know how to express it.
Oh, in Melbourne?
In India, when she went to India. And that's purely because the cow eats different food than the cow eats different food. Yep. And that's what makes the dish change the flavour.
Right.
You know, if you put different ingredients, even though it's the same, like it's a milk.
Yeah.
The same thing. You put milk, it's the same, but depend where the milk comes from.
Well, I'll tell you one thing in India that you're never going to be able to go there and not have is a mango lassi. Come on down.
Yeah,
that has to
lassies.
Be one of the most beautiful non-alcoholic drinks I've ever had in my life. This lassie loves a mango lassie. I can't tell you how many mango lassies I've had.
I'm not sure, Ross, if you had a chance to go to in Amritsar, and there is a place. I hope they are there still. They're famous for their lassie. They make three different lassies.
Oh, yes.
One plain lassie.
Yeah.
Plain means just the milk with the yogurt. And the second one, they make the one you're saying, mango lassie. And the third one, they make saffron.
Saffron lassi.
Yes. And they just only do, there's no other food, just lassi. And people go there in the middle of the summer and the glass, which is almost like half a litre, and they just scull it down and you feel
like a new person.
Fresh, new person.
Well, how would you describe a lassi? Many, it's like a smoothie in a way, is it?
It's a yogurt smoothie. We call it yogurt smoothie. Like, on a menu, we say lassi, but people, like in a description, we write mango yogurt mango smoothie.
Very nice.
Yum.
Very tasty.
Absolutely.
Aren't they?
Absolutely.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Fabulous guest. And yes. It's Manny, and we are talking all things India. You know, interestingly enough, a few of them have got sales on to when India at the moment, and it's never been cheaper to go to this fabulous destination. And if you've got around about $650-$700, that's travelling with first class airlines that give you bags and meals included on board, and you can fly from Melbourne or a lot of other Australian capital cities to Delhi. And if you're ever wanting to go, now's the time to go. It's such a spectacular destination. Am I right, Manny?
Yes, especially the weather. It's so nice, and like 24, 25, nice, beautiful, sunny days every day. No need to worry about rain or anything. It's the best time to go to India.
It is, but you know, what about up north where you're from? Wouldn't it be much colder up there?
Not as much. It's usually the coldest month is from 15th of December, around about 30th of Jan, I reckon. Uh-huh. So we passed that. So it's all nice.
Beautiful weather now.
Beautiful weather now, yes.
Blue skies.
Yes, blue skies. That's it.
Now, Manny, we know through lots of movies and knowing Indian people how much you guys love a wedding.
Yes.
So your family must be aching for yours. What happens on a traditional Indian wedding? I mean, it goes for days, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does. It's so many, like, a mini functions in one wedding. Like,
it's a festival.
It's a festival, yeah. Say, you know, any wedding, I reckon, the main function at least goes for 5 days, but the actual wedding, people get in a wedding mood, like they go to shopping and everything. And one thing I have to mention about India, which nobody mentioned, and I think it may be a tip for our retail friends here, India is like a night time shopping.
Okay. Yeah.
And one thing which I could not understand coming to Melbourne is why all the retail shops is from 9 to 5 when everybody is at
work.
The desk.
Yeah.
Why can't they do 5 to 9? And maybe that's when people can go home and actually see things, try things, and they may enjoy.
Well, you know, Manny, we're looking for a new Lord Mayor. I reckon if we voted you in, there might be change.
It is extraordinary. I mean, even our national galleries, up until recently, they were open from 10 till 5. I mean, that's like not useful at all.
Mm.
So you do have some of the retailers that are open until 6 and 7, but they're only the big retailers. It is kind of a weird thing. I guess, you know, well, I remember when I was a kid, we didn't even have, we just got Saturday morning shopping. Mm-hmm. Shops weren't even open on Sunday. Then we had Saturday morning, and there was no late Friday nights.
No.
I'm certainly showing my age at this point. But
41. And gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, back to weddings.
Yeah. So, yeah, back to weddings. You know, people, everybody get together, they go to shopping at night, and it's probably because of the weather, I think, too. You know, when it's really hot during the day, people want to go when it's a little bit cool down. You know, that's why they probably decided more than anything else. I don't think they thought of this, like, 9 to 5 people at job, and we need to open from when the people leave the job. But I think that's part of the reason. But night is so, and that's why I think the India is so colourful, lights, colours, and night, it's just like become a party town, you know, the whole thing. It's not many clubs and pubs in India as compared to Melbourne, but I think that is their entertainment.
It's more, the party's more on the street.
Yes.
You know, everyone's out and about, communicating, sharing and enjoying, and there'd be street food.
Street
and all
food.
Those sorts of, all
definitely.
Sorts of
things. So when you go to shopping, the first thing you feel like you want to eat something, you become hungry,
yeah.
and you want nice comfort food and quick and easy. And where do you get that is samosas. And where do you get that? On the street. You don't need to go. When you're in the shopping, you don't want to sit and spend 2 hours and then lose your shopping time, especially at night, because you've got small windows. Mm-hmm. So that's why the street food, I think, originated. Mm. So you just grab it on the way and nibble and then keep shopping.
Okay. So shopaholics, it sounds like. Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, you've got all that beautiful colour and fabric. I mean, I have got about 6 different Indian saris that have been delivered to me from visitors to India, because I love and collect fabric. So I have quite a lot of saris.
Fantastic.
I don't actually wear them, but I do... keep them in a... I use them for...
Maybe we'll wear them on the outside broadcast. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, with weddings. We back to weddings. Do they... I mean, in a contemporary Indian life, does everyone still have time for 5-day weddings? I mean, has that changed?
Like I said, depend... If you're living in a metro city, maybe not. That's why it's changing now, you know. Yeah. More and more people actually now, it's becoming a fashion, living in a so-called living relationship without even getting married. Yeah. But because people, A, financially not being able to, and B, not enough time. Yeah. But if you're in a village,
you'll
where
still
I come
do that,
from,
yeah.
the last thing we worry about is the finance and the time.
Now, Manny, do they still have those fancy dance-offs where they all have to learn dances and the girls and the guys all dance wedding, off with each other?
Wedding is not a wedding if there is no dance.
Oh, I love it now. Oh, God, can't wait to see one.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
Of course, now in Melbourne we're blessed with the Indian Film Festival, which has been going for quite a number of years and is a massive event. And they have famous... the Indian Film Festival brings out famous Bollywood stars. Like, the most famous Bollywood star was here a couple of years ago, and she makes more money for her roles than, like, 200 Hollywood stars combined.
Wow.
Of course, I'm being really terrible and I don't remember her name, but I'm going to look it up right now.
The movie industry is huge in India, isn't it?
It's huge. Again, it all comes down to how many audience. Like, so many people in India, so everybody wants to watch a movie. It's more people going to come to the movies and watch it, and the more money they make, the bigger the industry becomes.
Now, Manny, if one of our listeners decided to head off to India, what would be your top 3 or top 5 places that you think they should go and visit?
I think the Google can help more than me, but I said, my advice again to is just wherever you're going, go to random places. That's where you see the real India.
Yes. Mm.
That's where people, things are so different to any other part of world. You know, if you really want to explore India, go to random places, especially villages. I think they need a bit more. They deserve a bit more
recognition.
Recognition, yeah. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Now, I know if we come to that part of the program where we talk about gay rights and lesbian GLBTI rights, and India doesn't have a fantastic scorecard there, which is unfortunate. So it is one of those countries where homosexuality is still illegal, and so you've got to be very careful when you go there. I know on the 2 occasions that I've been to India, I haven't felt afraid, but it's just one of those destinations that you still need to go to where you just don't have to flaunt it. It's a very welcoming country. These are all just archaic laws that India, keep in mind, is a very religious country, and it's very hard to get these laws changed. So the average Indian, unless they're terribly, terribly religious, wouldn't have any problems with homosexuality, would they, Manny?
No, I'm pretty sure it will change too. I think more and more people becoming open and more educated about people's preference. You know, yes. If you want to be someone, nobody should force anyone to not to be that person. Yeah. I think it's completely okay.
Yes.
You know? They're not telling you to be like them. So why are you telling them to be like us? You know what I mean? If it's on the same, I think, argument. You know,
exactly.
If I'm a religious person, and I'm not asking you to be a religious person, but you can't ask me not to be a religious person. person either.
No.
So it's respecting other people's preference.
Boundaries and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's one of those beautiful countries where, you know, men hold hands and all of that, that social, Australia, for instance, as well, has that huge social stigma that two men can't possibly walk down the street holding hands without being, oh, look at them.
Yeah.
Whereas in India, two guys can hold hands and it's beautiful.
It's the same with lots of other countries, Iran and Syria and places like that. They're very free to hold hands.
More compassionate, I think. It's just like more touch. I think when you touch someone, it's just that feeling the other person feels, like comfort, I think. Your emotions pass on to that through the skin, I think.
Mm.
And that's why, I don't know why people think there's a problem here, but if somebody does that, and I'm sure it will change too here. You know, people don't think like that. Go, look at them, you know. It shouldn't be like that in the first place anyway.
I know I come from old school and I still get excited when I see a couple of young gay guys holding hands down the street. I think, oh, that's so beautiful.
You're certainly seeing a lot more hand-holding going on.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. It's really, really, really lovely. And people are expressing themselves more freely and feeling more comfortable to hold hands.
But I think people don't need to pick them. Like, if two guys holding hands, that means they are gay, or two girls holding hand. I think the real change will be when people stop looking at them. They're doing something different, but they're not. They're just doing what they feel like.
And that's the case in India. Anyone can hold hands. And it doesn't mean anything, does it?
No.
It just means they're besties.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD TIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour with Fiona Brooke and Russ Masterton. It's Joy 94.9. We have come to that time of the show where we're just going to chat to Manny about, the last bits and pieces of our fabulous India.
Well, I think that, one of the important things to keep in mind as we started the program, it is the 12th anniversary of Manny's arrival in Australia.
Oh, wow.
On Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a special one for you because you'll be with your lovely girlfriend, but you've got something special going on at your restaurants.
Yes, so on this Valentine's Day, we're doing special 5-course menu, $59 per person with a glass of bubbles for the couples.
Nice. What's on the menu?
it's a surprise food, so we haven't mentioned. So it's a special 5-course only designed for the Valentine's Day on both venues. So if we want to spread the love, so please allow us to serve you.
Oh, I can't believe you're not going to even give us an inkling of the menu.
Well, I think it'll be special, though. Anything special on Valentine's Day. I bet Fiona, you're going to be inundated with flowers. Doesn't she look like the sort of person that's going to get 25 bunches of flowers delivered to the office all at once, Manny?
But I just hope that, that someone special that is listening might be getting the hint.
Flowers for Fiona Brooke, please. Flowers for Fiona Brooke.
But isn't the Valentine's Day supposed to be a surprise? Like, if you know what's... are you going to get? I don't think it ruins the...
I think that you won't know what kind of flowers you're going to get or what kind of chocolates. Russ, what are you and your lovely fella doing on Valentine's Day?
I've got something on Valentine's night, so we're going out tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, so we're having an early Valentine's Day. We're going to El Gaucho on Nicholson Street for a Argentinian asado, and it's going to be... so we're going to be, sitting there with candlelit dinner and eating lots of beautiful Argentinian food and toasting each other in our relationship, and I'm going to be saying, so is this the night you asked me to marry you?
I believe you've got to wait another 7 years.
Oh, I know, it's a long courting period. It really is a long.
Manny, now on Valentine's Day, you're not going to be working, I hope. You're going to be leaving that to your staff.
What are
you doing on Valentine's Day?
Oh, that's...
you'll be waiting for the flowers to arrive, won't you?
It's a surprise.
No, we like to make it simple. Like me and my girlfriend, we just, we enjoy simple things rather than just... I think when you make occasion really, like you want to be something special, you put so much stress and then that ruins the purpose, I think. If you just enjoy being together, happy and just do random things. I'm a random person, people ask me, how do you design the menu? I just say randomly, random is my word.
That's the way to go.
People ask me... what's the key to the success? I'd say random. You know, just do random things. Follow your heart, and
I think that describes our show perfectly.
Where we follow the heart. Happy 10th anniversary and Valentine's Day 12? To Melbourne.
12.
God, time rushes on. It's 2 years there. Fiona Brooke, happy Valentine's Day for Wednesday
to you.
I hope you're showered in love on that day. And we must go. It's that time again. Thank you for coming in and joining us and telling us all things India Mani. That was great, wasn't it, Fiona? I really enjoyed it.
It was so nice to be here.
Happy birthday to my friend Harold.
Happy birthday, Harold.
Who's a young buck today. And moving right along, it's time for the next show, which is The Sound of Summer.
Sound of Summer, we better get off.
See you next week.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.